Morning, Lisa.
Kia ora. Good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Whangaroa.
So, Three Waters. We're talking Three Waters. The background that I've noticed is that all the councils in the Waikato region were talking about...
Local waters done well.
That's what the government wants us to call it. I don't like using their branding.
And the discussions that we have in the Mayoral Forum, and the Mayoral Forum obviously is made up of mayors from across the Waikato region. I don't go to that forum, so I've never actually been. So that was happening? That's happening all the time.
And it's still happening?
Yeah, it happens all the time.
But then Hamilton City's come out and said... they're going to explore doing their own council-controlled organisation for Three Waters, separate to the rest of that discussion.
That's exactly right. And we've also considered at Waikato District Council going it alone in terms of Waikato District Council and perhaps another entity. You know, we've been really lucky for the last number of years we've had a relationship with Watercare, and that is coming to an end.
So can I ask you about that? Because pretty much everyone has agreed that that relationship was beneficial because they had so much institutional knowledge that you couldn't possibly get in a small council like Waikato District.
And they're withdrawing from that.
And they're withdrawing from that.
In 2026.
I would think that would mean Waikato District Council would be looking for another similar arrangement where you had that. Just that huge knowledge base.
That's exactly right. And it takes a massive amount of knowledge and skills to do the work that needs to be done across a district as big as ours, but also a district that has a number of wastewater treatment plants, a district that has a number of waters reservoirs, a district that has challenges with stormwater, for example. So we actually know that it's not as easy just to do it on your own. So we're exploring the option, you know, what would it look like for Waikato District Council with another entity, for example, like Watercare? What would it look like for Waikato District Council in terms of local waters done well and doing it as a region with other councils? And what would it look like for us to have a relationship with the likes of Hamilton City Council, which we adopted our... we agreed to our recommendations earlier this week in terms of exploring what their opportunities are with Hamilton City Council. I was just looking on my phone to get the recommendations as we passed them at the council fee earlier this week. And that isn't a fait accompli, and I know that you said to me off the air, you know, will that mean that Hamilton City Council will run everything or have all the power? We don't know what this will look like until we actually look at all the aspects, what it would look like to have an asset-owning CCO.
So it's 2 years of work to get to the point of when we know what that CCO would look like? Is that kind of what I got out of that?
It's actually quicker than that. So we have to look at all of that. So we're, you know, investing the time into looking at all of the pros and cons, what's the difference in our debt capacity or our loaning. So we can't make an informed decision until we have all of those, all of the investigation done. And the devil will be in the detail. If we were to go with Hamilton City Council, what would that look like? Would we have a Waters Governance Board, which we do currently for Waikato District Council? We have an independent governance board that does a great job. You know, how would that operate? What's the debt cap? All of those things we need to consider. So we're not just blindly going in and saying, yes, we're going to have this relationship with Hamilton. It's all dependent on that body of work that we need to do, and we need to do that quickly.
Yeah, and there's an opt-out.
All of the pros and cons. And it's actually, it's not saying we're stuck in this relationship. We're exploring what those possibilities could be. And we have to do that. And we need to embed something that is going to be of benefit to our ratepayers, to our communities across the district. And, you know, mindful that the decisions that we make today are decisions that are going to have an impact when I'm not there. Next year, none of us who are in council at the decision-making table, it might be quite different. We may not be elected again if we choose to stand. So we have to have something that's going to weather the political climate and the changes and the, you know, that's, and we need to put aside that to try and see the forest for the trees of good decisions that we're making that are going to be benefit later on. And that's, yeah, that's.
So that, to, in my head, there's kind of two aspects to this. One is that all the councils have got to negotiate the mechanics of who controls what and how it's all going to work. But there's also the original issue, which we go way back to when Labor first came up with their plan, which was driven by the fact, and you said it, the rating system, you've described it as the rating system is broken. There's huge amounts of spending required to maintain the increasing standards for water treatment.
And just the maintenance.
Yeah. So, does any of this solve that problem?
We have to look at all.
It's still on ratepayers, isn't it, to fund all these services?
It is. It is still on ratepayers to fund all those services, and that's where we loan fund the work.
Yeah.
Our $26 million that we're spending currently on the wastewater treatment upgrade for our wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah.
I can't give you a definitive answer right now.
Well, I don't think anyone can.
Will it solve all of our problems? Will it make it cheaper? Until we do that investigation and get the real details, we'll have more of an idea of what pathway to take. But currently, the decision that we made earlier this week about exploring further a relationship with Hamilton City Council, we don't know all of that until we really delve into the details and get that report so we can make an informed decision with the best information that we can at that point in time to make those decisions, whether it's going with a regional CCO or whether it's going with a relationship with Hamilton City Council, and we embark on that journey. And it would mean that in the future, if other councils wanted to opt in, they could as well. Mm. Or is it that we go on our own and we have some sort of waters excellence entity that's part of council? I don't know, but we aren't excluding any options at this point in time because we can't.
Okay, so there's still and the legislation, have they put out all the legislation governing that?
Not yet,
so we don't even know all the legislation.
Yeah, so it's a massive decision. But then we were in this place in 2016 as well, when we decided that we would go it alone with Watercare. And that's been of real benefit to our communities. So I know it sounds a little bit airy-fairy, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. So I would like
to. And it will come at a cost to explore all of those options.
But you can't skimp on the planning.
No, you can't skimp on
the. It's a very bad idea to skimp on your planning.
That's exactly right. And so this is an investment into the future. And it's a decision that once we have all of that information, those decisions we'll make in council.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So yes, we've made. Yeah. So yes, we've made in basic terms. We've decided that we will look at what the options could be with Hamilton City Council.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find out more as time goes on. So, are council staff already working with council staff in Hamilton on this?
Yeah. Well, our staff work closely together anyway across the different councils because that's what we do. We already have strategic relationships with Hamilton.
Yeah.
We've got strategic relationships just in the Mayoral Forum with the metropolitan spatial plans with transport. We have it with Future Proof. We've got communities that are right on the border of Hamilton, which is Tamahere.
Bits of Hamilton. Hamilton keeps
and
taking.
Te Kōwhai, and Horatiu. So we've got strategic relationships already with Hamilton City Council, and they will continue regardless of whether we go into a waters relationship with them or not. So we're already working closely with Hamilton City Council, and our staff work really closely.
And Hamilton keeps biting off bits of Waikato and Waipa districts as well, doesn't it?
Well, the alignments
as it gets urban area increases. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, okay, all right. So we'll park that till the next press release or decision or update. I don't know what will happen. You mentioned transport. There was an article in the Waikato Times about with four mayors, well, actually it was deputy mayor from our area, talking about $100 million in transport funding not coming to the Waikato region, $20 million not coming for Waikato district. In amongst all the three water stuff, have staff had time to tell you guys what that actually means in terms of your capacity for transport spending in our district?
It has a massive impact.
I imagine it does.
It has a massive impact. Yeah. Like, for example, all of safety has been taken out of the budget. So, you know,
so things is that direct, like, that's directed from government.
Yep. So we
So,
you know, we might like to have raised crossings. We might like to have cycling. We might like to have things like that. Now, not in the budget, so it has a massive impact. And we're just actually pulling out those details and looking at the impacts. And we've got to make decisions about, because you have your share from central government, and then you have your local share, which comes from developer contributions and the like. And so really what we left in the pot is just local share. So what would we do with that? We haven't even considered that yet, because that decision is so new, and it will have a major impact on our considerations for our long-term plan, which I always talk about every time I come on the radio, because that's where we determine where our spending budget will be and what for the next 3 years of that plan. And so over the coming months, we will be having workshops and we will be considering how we spend that and where we utilise it and how we use that across our district. So, yeah, we'll have it's had a massive impact and we've only just touched the surface of what that will actually mean for our communities and what we're able to do or not do.
Mm. So the government's been directive, I guess, about not doing safety stuff and certain things. But also, I'm wondering, have they taken some funding out anyway, and you guys will just have less for the rest of your transport stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, that as well as directly saying don't do those things.
Yeah, it has a massive impact on what we're able to do.
I saw in that article that Waipai only lost $1 million of what they were expecting, but we lost $20 million, and I couldn't work out how they got lucky.
I don't know, actually.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at that, so I don't know.
Could be.
I have enough just concentrating on what our council does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know the feeling. Information flying all around me everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's another one that's the government's dropped that on us, and then we have to wait and see. But that's going to tie in with the long-term plan, which is the long-term spending plan, I always want to call it. That has to be decided by, ready to go by July next year.
So we've already started to look at what impacts that will have. We'll be coming out to the community in the new year. Probably about March, April, if not sooner. I'll look at our timelines again and for consideration of what should we keep in and what should we take out. You know, we have to make decisions around the rate strike, how we're going to spend our budgets, where we're going to put that. And we really need our community's input into when we go out to consult. We really need your support, our communities, and what that looks like.
I'm just sitting here wondering with, like, the contract with Watercare runs out in a bit under
2026.
So that's going to happen. So a lot of decisions and the planning for the CCO and all that, like,
Different again.
But you're going to have to make decisions after this long-term plan. You're going to have to put the long-term plan in place, and then all these big expensive decisions are going to be made in the middle
already,
of that.
Well, the big decisions in terms of the relationships, you mean, whether we go with Hamilton City Council or whether we go with the regional local waters done well or whether we go it alone, ultimately at the end of the day, we already know how much it's going to cost and what work needs to be undertaken in our three water space. We've done that work.
Right. You know the
status of it. I mean, there might be things that come up, but we understand as much as we can the cost implications. It's how we're going to fund that and how we can do that best. So we already know that in that water space.
Yes.
It's coming to the long-term plan is how, in the budgets that we're going to have, where we're going to put our resourcing and for what. That's the big question when we go out to our community in 2025, what that will look like. Because our community is going to help us make decisions about what to cut, what to keep and what not to keep.
Yeah. Okay. The buses, I've heard that our buses are jointly funded by regional and district council, and that has appeared messy in the past, but I understand that as there moves afoot to shift it all to the responsibility of the regional council. So that will mean...
That's a consider... Yeah.
A rate cut in our district rates, but a rate increase in our...
In your regional
it
rates.
It should be zero sum.
Yeah, so those are decisions that regional council will need to make.
Yeah, so that'll. So how long will it take for that to be tidied up? Will it be part of the next LTP?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
You'd probably be best to talk to Pamela Story, actually, the chair of regional council.
Yeah, I can do that. I haven't talked to her for a while.
Yeah, and it'll be actually be quite good because she's been going around and they're actually doing a lot of work. So it'd be good to probably interview her.
Climate Action Plan, is that what it's called? Is that what I was reading with John the other day?
That's exactly
right.
So
that's come from the subcommittee that you chair, the Sustainability and Wellbeing Committee. Did I get the name right?
That's exactly right, Sustainability and Wellbeing. So we...
Are you happy with that?
And it was actually, an update of the current plan for the coming years. So Rachel Goddard and her small team have done a great job on that. So it's those things that we can demonstrate what we're doing as an organisation and potentially what we can do out amongst the community. So it's really awesome that we've got that and as an organisation we can demonstrate that out to the community. And I was pleased, that was passed unanimously. It's another body of work that we do in council.
Okay. The Māori wards situation, which we already know the story there, that the council is directing you guys to either have a referendum or...
Disestablish
totally. And I think I might have asked you the question, what would happen if you guys just refused to do...
And that's a question that we've asked as well. And with the environment that we're in currently, it would probably be quite easy that they'll take the councillors out and put commissioners in because we haven't followed legislation.
Well, I did see that there was a council up north, not Kaipara District, because they're the ones that got
the Far North District Council.
The Far North District Council, they directed their CEO to explore what...
To explore that, and so that's great that they're doing that, because whatever the CEO comes up with is something that other councils could utilise, but I think what they'd find is that it's legislation, as much as I dislike that, and I would like us to have gone, let's not do it, but the odds are that we could be, as I said just before, the councillors could be taken out and replaced with commissioners. If every council,
you can see on my face,
52 councils who actually signed the letter saying that they wanted the wards to remain, if all of us said we're not going to do what you've asked, are there enough commissioners to actually run 52 councils?
Yeah.
That was my question. But then would that be a reason to amalgamate all into a super council and just have one set of commissioners? That's another thing. So I think about all of the different scenarios.
I think a super council, I think that's called a national government.
Yeah. That's something that we asked as well. But the advice that we received was that, well, we could be replaced with commissioners. And I'm hoping that our communities actually see the benefits of the Māori wards and that the referendum says, yes, we want the wards to remain. And remember, folks, it's just two decision makers out of 14. Mm. So it's not as if one group will have more sway or say than another group at the decision-making table.
Well, theoretically, the theoretical Pākehā group does have decision-making sway, but But of course, those are general seats, and you are in a general seat.
I'm in a
Māori
general
yourself,
seat.
So what am I saying? Nothing in particular useful.
No, but yeah. You know, there's equity, and it's only two seats.
And what it is representation and diversity at the table.
It's representation, it's diversity, and I have to say, with the councillors who sit at the decision-making table now, I think we're more diverse than we've ever been.
Mm. Oh yeah. I've before you were councillor, it was mostly retired farmers. Back 10 or 15 years ago, retired male farmers mostly. Yeah, like literally over half. And admittedly, our district has become bigger. We've taken the bit up the north from Auckland City
Franklin district. Yeah,
and there's a lot of urban growth up there. So it certainly is changing. But
well,
even
we're
so,
a high growth council as well, and the demographics are changing. For Raglan, for Ngārua Wahia,
That complicates all these things we've been talking about, like the three waters and the transport issues.
Did you see the release statistics yesterday that came out around Māori and the numbers of Māori in communities and the biggest so it was quite amazing. I haven't distilled the information, but you should have a look at it because it came out before Stats New Zealand stats came out, so it's quite telling.
Okay, I don't know what that is. I'll have to have a look.
The changing faces of our communities to Pacifica and Māori.
Oh yeah. Civil defence.
That's right. We've convening our community response group or plan on the 14th of October, so there are various people and organisations that are being invited in, including you. And we were talking about you, my partner and I, yesterday, actually, about how important Raglan Radio is in terms of the emergency management and the comms and the one source of truth in terms of getting out the information when things do happen in our community.
Or if we get what Cyclone Gabrielle did, the one source of anything.
The one source of anything and how we might manage that. So, yeah, so we've got a hui on the 14th of October at 7 o'clock at the fire station. So our fire chief, Frank Turner, has kindly offered that as a venue discussion.
Seems appropriate somehow.
Oh, it's awesome. It's fantastic. So we're well into the swing of that. And Gabriel Parson and I yesterday went about delivering our civil defence emergency wheelie bins to a number of schools and organisations.
That's what was happening at the community house.
Yeah, so we were delivering that to the community house. Yeah. So they're resource bins for the event of an emergency.
So what's in them? Remind us what's in them.
Oh, there's a whole lot of things. There are things like axes, if it should be needed, if there was an earthquake. There are gloves, there's hard hats, there are
walkie-talkies.
No, little radios. No, we've got we've got radios that the community response crew will have.
Okay, anyway, outside of those containers.
Outside of that, and we've also got a really good generator as well as part of that.
That's important. I keep finding that out every time we have a power cut.
Yeah, so we've got a really good generator that can be utilised. So it's just resources like collapsible stretchers. So in the event of emergency, those bins can be opened and used. So we'll be delivering them to each marae in our area and each school and the community house, for example, Raglan Club, a number of our halls and other places around the community. Mm. And they were funded by MSD under the Raglan Naturally umbrella, so that'll be really helpful.
Okay, and the motorsport bylaw, what stage is that at?
That or was the bylaw update? Adopted.
Yeah. Oh, it's adopted, yeah. Okay. So
we passed that. That will go to full council for actual sign-off, but we had the deliberations and hearings last week, and that went really well. So that was a very considered process, and the motorsports events policy is much better than what we used to have.
What is different about it?
The detail and the processes. You've caught me on the hop. I have to have a look at it.
You didn't memorise the whole bylaw.
I didn't memorise the whole bylaw. And those on both sides of whether they supported motorsports events or not were in agreement that the policy was much more robust and better than what we had previously. And we'd been asking that for a long time. So it was very timely. And we had speakers from both those who supported and those who didn't.
Yeah.
So I felt that it was well informed. And we had quite a large contingent of those people who live out at Rōpuki who gave very thoughtful submissions.
Yeah, they're quite organised out there, I feel. I've noticed.
To the motorsports policy. Yeah. So that was really well appreciated. And, of course, we had people from the rally supporters who came in and spoke as well.
Yeah, okay. There's a thing, the community board plan, which council is getting community boards to do, is that...
I need to...
You guys already had, already had a plan, I thought, before the council last year.
Oh, that was our 90-day plan.
Oh, okay,
and
right.
So I actually need to... I had an email yesterday from one of our staff to go through it because it was left to myself and Dennis to run through that, and specifically me, because I wasn't involved in that process. So I need to look at it because there's some of it that actually I don't know if it's necessary to have in that plan. And like you said, we already had our active 90-day plan. So I'm meeting with staff to go through that on behalf of the community board.
Is our community
board? We've got our charter as well.
A bit more proactive than the other community boards?
Our community board is very active in different spaces in the work that happens in Raglan. Ngārua Wahia is a very active community board.
Okay.
Taupiri's getting there, but they're a much smaller community.
Yeah, yeah. And the votes were like 50 votes per person sort of thing.
But certainly there's a desire from communities across the district to be as active as Raglan, but certainly they're not anywhere near the level of what Raglan has been, you know, with the wharf project, innovating streets, you know, when the wastewater overflows, all of those sorts of things. We are very active.
Yeah.
And even participating in workshops and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And our vote is either number one or number two. In terms of turnout, when we have,
I think ours is number one. Actually, I'm not quite sure.
Last time before it was one. This time it was just below somebody else.
Yeah, so hopefully people will be really active next year when the
It's coming around again soon.
It is. It's less than a year now.
Mm.
It'll be a year in October. That's when we usually have the voting.
Yeah. All right, Lisa, thank you for coming in.
That's a pleasure. I hope everyone has a really great weekend. And I just really want to take this opportunity to acknowledge some of the passings of people this week in our community and make special mention of Malibu Hamilton.
Yeah.
And he was always a passionate advocate for all things environmental in Raglan. And I was looking at some photos today of our TPPA rally that we organised for Raglan back in, I think, 2016. And there was a beautiful photo of Malibu walking down the street. And I know that he was very kind to me and very compassionate when I first got into the community board and then into the position and role of councillor. And I could email him and he would always have great advice and support. He was very kind.
Yeah.
Really, really kind.
And very knowledgeable about things like the Resource Management Act and all those environmental regulations. Yeah,
and he also had, just lovely advice and a very good energy and very passionate. And I know that for myself, I've missed him in the last few years because he hasn't been around.
Yeah.
And I could email him and ask him for advice, and he was always generous with that.
I know, and I'm thinking, where is, like, the work he did on the surf break protection and the environmental work, and like, who's...
Kiwis Against Seabed Mining.
That's huge shoes to fill. I don't know if there is any one person who could fill those shoes.
Oh, and with such energy. And I think we did a road trip to the Manukau Water Care Run wastewater treatment plant, and there was myself, Angeline, Roald Ampico. There was a whole crew of us that went in, my people mover, and he was the driver. And I was white-knuckled sitting in the back because
of your own
he
car.
Was like a Formula One driver of my people mover. So, yeah, he'd be well missed. So just really wanted to acknowledge Malibu.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Lisa, thanks for coming in.